Welcome to the bonus level.
Hello again, and welcome to level 19 of the Bonus Level Podcast. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Jack. Alongside with me, as usual, is Josh and Luch. Go ahead and say hello.
Hello, friends.
Welcome back to another week, another episode, and another level. Thanks for joining us. If you can think back about 2 weeks, we talked about free will and the mysteries therein in level 17, and we thought we had defeated the final boss at the end. We thought that it was over. But in true storybook fashion,
we got sued by Matrix.
The boss is back and has unfinished business with us. And this week, we're going to be talking about the mysteries of the great simulation theory. And if you're unfamiliar with that, there is a school of thought, and some people, very so-called smart people in the world, some of which are actually idiots, will actually tell you that it is more likely that we are all living in a giant simulation, that we're not actually living in base reality, than it is for us to be real life human beings. And we're going to discuss that. And Josh has a lot of things to say about it.
When do I not have a lot of things to say?
That's true. But first, before we get into that, do you guys remember what we ultimately concluded with free will in level 17?
That we agreed to disagree?
That we agreed to disagree. Yeah, that's true.
Well, no, I mean, because I felt like, you know, in a lot of ways that we, you know, understood where everyone was coming from. There, you know, you seem to agree that a lot of, you know, the nature and nurture of where we come from influences our decisions in the future a lot. But to what end, to what point, I don't know if we ever, you know, finally agreed on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Luch, do you remember where you rested?
No.
No, you do not remember.
I do not remember, my friend.
So if that's the case, if you don't remember, if I were to ask you right now, does free will exist? What's your answer?
The simulation tells me to say no.
Wait a minute. Does that mean? Oh my God. Does that mean?
Yeah, no, free will definitely exists, I think.
Okay. So you, yeah, that's right. You decided that that you didn't want to be controlled by the man.
I mean, right? No, because if the man was controlling me, I'd be pretty upset.
Why?
Well, that I wish he'd let me win the lottery.
If I'm being controlled, you guys suck.
Yeah, right? It's like, this is the path you chose for me.
No. They found me the right woman. They just need to give me the winning lottery ticket.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're like, they just give you some wins, but they can't give you more.
Like, I have the best cat. I have the best wife.
Just need that lottery.
I heard you were on a pretty awesome podcast.
They're okay. I mean, it's up for debate. I'll introduce them to you guys sometime.
Nice.
Who's that? Oh, yeah. Your podcast friends. I got you. Understandable. So let's kick off this topic by asking the upfront question, right? Because ultimately we're going to discuss it. We're going to go back and forth, and then maybe we settle on this is what we actually think, or maybe somebody's mind gets changed. Mm-hmm. But right off the cuff, do you think, Josh, that this is one big computer simulation controlled by a higher power or a higher intelligence?
Okay, so this is why I have a lot to talk about this.
Okay, well, I asked you a yes or no question, so...
I think first that we need to distinguish as far as what type of simulation we're even talking about.
Josh.
So,
Josh.
I'll lean towards Josh, yes. Josh. I'll lean towards yes. So we'll, if okay. you guys have other stuff you want to discuss, I'll just leave it at that. And we'll, I'll talk in a minute, but yes. I'm going to say yes.
Luke,
he can't hold it in. No. No, no, I don't believe so.
No. Okay. Neither do I.
I mean, the simulation called life.
There's a... While I think that there are greater forces at play and greater powers at play that end up controlling and influencing what we consider, you know, coincidences and things like that, I ultimately do not believe that this is a giant simulation of any sort. Aside from the fact, right, that... So simulation in theory and in definition, meaning that, like, okay, so first of all, in order to, let's back up a second. In order to talk about it, what's the definition of simulation, right?
Yeah. So if you can take the muzzle off for a second, I can kind of go into a beginner's guide or explanation, I think, to at least get everyone on the
word?
Same page.
Do you know what the word simulation means? Defined by the dictionary.
Defined by the dictionary?
Yeah.
It says,
no, 'cause I have a Alexa. It says the production of a computer model or of something, especially for the purpose of study.
Okay.
My dictionary just says Earth.
So.
Weird.
Mine so, says network with that
connectivity issues.
Wait a minute. No. So, with that definition in mind, I think that you can replace words in that sentence and be like, "Oh, well, if you believe in God, then God could be the higher intelligence, and the Earth and life is actually a giant simulation run by Him in a way of." You know, we were all created by Him, and so life is one giant, you know, let's see what happens with these humans sort of deal. So that's my take on it.
Okay.
That's well, as close as of a simulation that I will believe that
we're in. Okay, so let me kind of, because when I knew that we were going to be talking about this, I watched a lot of videos by lots of different people and stuff like that. And one of the biggest ones that stood out to me was the explanation done by Neil deGrasse Tyson. So basically, like I said, I feel like, you know, when we're talking about simulations, that there could be a lot of different ones. Anyone that's known me and talked to me has seen me on multiple occasions where we'll just be hanging out doing whatever. I'll get quiet. I'll look over at you and I'll whisper fucking Matrix because some weird event happened that made me go like, I don't believe that I'm in this world right now. I think that's different than the simulation of what Neil deGrasse Tyson and you know, some of the other scientists or whoever are kind of talking about. But the way that they explained it was like Tyson was talking about the fact of, you know, we have a couple of paths that the human race can take over, you know, the course of history. One of the paths will be is if, you know, we're eventually going to get to the point where our technology keeps getting better and better and better to we're at the point where we can run a simulation on a computer of, you know, Big Bang to now. Where the computer's running everything, all different types of simulations. You know, you can change things up and go, okay, well, I want to see what the world would have looked like in, you know, this year if Hillary would have won. What would, you know, or what happened if Trump would have won? Like, let's say next year that Trump does something crazy and we get nuked, and then all of a sudden, you know, like the world ends, and they go, oh, okay, well, that simulation shows, well, what would have happened if Trump would have got elected president? So let's run one and see what it would have been like with, you know, Hillary or whatever it may be. And so how he explains the probability of us being in a simulation is basically, like I said, one of the options would be that we advance technologically to the point where we can actually run one. Other option is we go extinct before we ever get there. So you have one of those two options, basically. You either go extinct before you get to that point, or you get powerful enough technologically that we can run simulations. Now that we're at the point that we can run simulations as a society, let's say that you have only enough power that 10 computers in the entire world can run simulations. So now you have one world running 10 different simulations. Well, now in those simulations, you could have other people running simulations inside them because maybe they don't know they're in a simulation or whatever. So it just, it compounds upon itself multiple times to where, I mean, let's just be, you know, conservative and say that there's 1,000 simulations being run. You know, he uses the example of, you know, millions or billions, but let's say that you just stopped at 1,000. So now if you take all those 1,000 simulations and you take your one real world and you stuck them all up on a wall and you threw a dart, he's like, what's the probability that you're going to hit the actual real life world compared to one of the simulations? He goes, the chance of you being in a simulation is so high that he's like, it's arrogant to think that you would not be in a simulation. To me, where I stand on this and why, like, I was some, you know, I didn't want to just give a black and white answer in the beginning, is because that kind of thing, while I understand his logic behind it and like it makes sense, yes, if I don't know, when you see it all written out and drawn out, it's like, okay, that makes sense, but still at the same time, it's hard for your mind to process. It just kind of seems like another one of those fun sci-fi things. Like, I love, you know, alien craft, you know, think about alien stuff or Bigfoot stuff or whatever, but at the same time, like, deep down, I know it's fun and I like thinking about it. Same way with the Matrix. Matrix, I probably believe more than almost anything because I've been a diehard Matrix fan since the first time I saw the movie and was like, this just explains everything in life. Like, everything in life can be explained by this movie. This is what's going on. That, you know, even with that, deep down, I'm like, I don't really, if someone had a gun to my head, I wouldn't say that that was true.
Yeah.
But I understand where he's coming from. Where my some of my issues from it is some of that simulation feels different. Because, like, the reasons why I believe in things like the Matrix, or what makes me think that the Matrix is real, is things like with like something happens. You know, I think about something and then, like, the next day that event comes true. I mean, we've talked about that a lot, you know, all of us having those kind of feelings. But I mean, just like with my parents the other day, my mom was talking about that she was working on her computer. She was like, man, you know, I've been working on this same computer for a long time now. I really need to, you know, I think it'd be nice if I started looking for a new computer or something like that. The next day, her hard drive just completely fried. She lost everything. Didn't get a chance to switch things over to a new computer or anything. They had to ship off their hard drive. There's a company saying that they could, you know, try recovering things, but they got to do it in, like, a clean room. It's like $500 to even look at it, you know, kind of crazy stuff. But it happened, like, literally the day after. She's like, man, my computer seems to really be getting, you know, like, that kind of stuff just goes, all right, like, there can only be so much coincidence before I start going, like, bullshit, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
So where I feel like the simulations that that Tyson talk about aren't really as much as, like, me having control of my situations or surroundings like they do in the Matrix, but more just, you know, they're running, like, we're just a, you know, an ant in an anthill running because the master told us to. That with that, I don't like that as much. Deep down, I think my rebellious nature makes me want to fight that some. But but hopefully that kind of explains. I wanted to get out, and I know I went on a long little rant and monologue, but I wanted you guys to understand, when I hear the word simulation, this is what I think of. So that way, we're all at least all on the same page as that, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Well, Luch, what about you? I'll kind of fill in the blanks.
In terms of what? I told you I don't believe that we're in a simulation.
I know, I know. So what do you think about what he said?
I mean, the part where he said, I forget what that guy's name you told me, but
Neil.
that it's arrogant to think that we're not in a simulation. It's kind of arrogant to think that we are in a simulation.
Well, how so?
Well, one thing I can say is that, first of all, if there was a simulation that was running it, I don't think we have the technology right now to do something on that massive scale and give everybody its own self-conscious. I mean, AI is out there, 100%. Mm. But the only thing I can think of is that simulations would be for running things that are possible, not what have happened.
Well, and so, and what he was explaining with it is, you know, we're not at the point that we could do that now. The type of supercomputer that it would we would have to do that is way beyond our powers now.
Exactly.
Like we have blueprints towards those kind of things. They said that we do have concepts towards them. But what he's talking about is in time, like, you know, technologically, we're going to eventually progress to the point where we can do that. And if eventually. We can't, if we get to that point where we can do it, then it's either there's a 50-50
But you also got to understand the type of machine that would have to do that. That machine would have to predict every single outcome, whether I pick up a pen or not. And then if I drop that pen, spin that pen, or just hold on to it, that computer would have to determine what would happen after that. It would literally have to determine the possibilities of everybody's actions in the entire world by like the nanosecond. Is anything can change?
Playing the devil's advocate though, if we were in a simulation, it just could be that our simulation hasn't reached the technology to run that yet. Whereas the actual,
but that's what I'm saying. Running the simulation, why would someone run a simulation for that? That's what I'm trying to get.
What do you mean? It's the God complex. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Why do people play things like Second Life and The Sims, and you know, and then you have like the Second Life characters where you can't, you know, you create your character and then you can't like murder or hurt anybody, but you just like play this other life, and then you can have. Do you remember that episode of The Office where?
So what you're saying is that there's a person or an organization out there that is putting us through a simulation, so that way we can that they can feel good about themselves and their God complex.
No, not exactly. I mean, it's the same way we're running simulations right now, or trying to simulate the Big Bang.
We're trying to figure out the Big Bang
and how that happened and everything. So, you know, what if there was something that happened in a point in history and they're like, we need to figure out, I mean, like, if look at today, some of the things that are going on in today's society, how things are super crazy. I mean, like, very polarized, left side, right side. That's what I'm trying to say though.
That would be complete mute point. In terms of that, so the only way I would ever even agree with that ridiculous theory is based on Jack's, you know, whatever notion that he's saying that there's someone watching us down right now. The only thing I could ever see a simulation happening is to predict our future. First of all, if they tried to recreate something from the Big Bang Theory to see where humanity made its mistakes, that again wouldn't be possible, because then they would have to recreate everything that happened or create a new one, because they wouldn't be able to know what happened back then and recreate that exactly. There's no way they could do that.
No.
They could create their own world, yes.
You create the original, you put the ingredients in with some different probabilities or whatever, and then you let them go from there and you observe and report on what's happening.
Yeah, but
it's not that you're telling those things to do this, this, and this.
And I don't disagree with you on that, Josh. But what I'm saying is, if they were to do a simulation of what I did, you know, 10 years ago, that's not going to help them in a type of situation now. Simulations, again, just like you said, we're going on the same line. It's to predict their future, to prevent something, right? But a simulation, I feel like, would have to run. The computer would run. If we were geniuses, if all three of us were geniuses and we're trying to build ourselves, you know, trying to see, bring humanity to the, you know, brink of the highest technology and sophistication and, you know, as powerful as a human race could be, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would have to learn from history's mistakes. However, we can't go back in time, you know, whatever happens. And we can't really create a computer system that would exactly know what happened during that time frame of everybody in the entire world. However, you can create a simulation to, again, it would have to be a powerful enough computer to predict
every all 7 billion and all creatures on the planet about what they would do at that point and the possible things that can happen. Like Doctor Strange in the Avengers, you know, he's sitting there crisscross applesauce mm-hmm. and he's going through and he's like, you know, I've seen 16 million different outcomes and this is yeah. the only one that comes through. That's only because he can actually use that. What was it? The time stone. And he can actually go into the future and live through all of those moments and then figure out which one is possible. But in order to do that, again, but he went through every single possibility of mm-hmm. one of himself and then everything happening around him in order to depict, you know, whether there will be a meteor that hits the planet. Let's even use
Doctor Strange as an example here, because how many different simulations did he say he ran, Jack?
Oh, it was like 14 million. Yeah, 14 million.
Yeah. So in that, there were people that were living in his simulations that were completely conscious, that thought that they were real people. They were going about their lives as real, normal people in those simulations. And each time, like, they would go on until their timeline ended because of Thanos winning or whatever timeline, you know, Doctor Strange decided to stop it. So what the simulation theory is saying is that if there were 14 million different simulations that Doctor Strange ran and one real one, what are the odds that we're in the real one as opposed to being in one that Doctor Strange was?
See, that's the only thing that I can give to you guys. So again, a simulation is going to be a simulation. If it ever does become a thing, it's going to be a computer program. It's mm-hmm. not going to be anything that is going to be like the Matrix. It's not going to be an actual world where people live their lives to observe. The computer is going to run the possibilities.
Yeah.
And that is it. It is going to go at however fast. Doctor Strange did that in how long, Jack? 3 seconds?
A few seconds.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that there were 16 million different worlds that happened at the same time with living, breathing people in it. No, he used the time stone to look through, kind of like what he did in the actual Doctor Strange movie, where he just, but that one, he was going back in time. But what I'm saying is that if simulation did exist, it wouldn't create a world where it would have people and then they would know, you wouldn't observe them. It's all about possibility. That's the key word there. It's the possibility of something happening. See, the ridiculous notion of the Matrix is that they built a giant machine and put actual people in mm-hmm. their own world.
Yeah.
But the simulation is very different, though, from what I said,
what the simulation theory is.
But that's what I'm saying. A simulation is going to be a computer processing the moments of what anybody would make at any given time in a matter of seconds or hours or however long it takes for them to figure out what point they want to get to. So if they were like, all right, supercomputer, first test, we want to predict what Donald Trump will eat for lunch today. Then the computer will go, based on my calculations, it looks like he will be fed a Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what will happen. But there isn't going to be a world simulation created. And then all of a sudden people are going to go and that chef is going to make him a Reuben and go to simulation Donald Trump and feed him that Reuben. And then boom, world ends. No, the only way I think a simulation would ever happen is going to be in the mind of a supercomputer. But that mm-hmm. reads all the possibilities. If that supercomputer creates its own world in its head, first of all, I don't think it would be powerful enough to actually create those kind of things in it. But it can observe and predict the possibility happening based on the mathematics and science of what people do on their daily basis. But they would have to have records of what everybody, they would have to have records of Jack ever since he was born and what he's done with his entire life, what he eats, what he does, what his daily routines are, what your daily routines are, what you
see. I don't think you need to have that information.
No, you 100% need to have that information in order to make an accurate simulation. It doesn't have to.
I think you guys are arguing, not arguing, like two. You're discussing two separate points of what the simulation could be. Luch, you're talking about like predicting an outcome, whereas Josh is talking about like not predicting anything, but the fact that like, so for instance, if you play The Sims, you're not predicting what they're going to do or running a program to see what they're going to do. You're literally controlling what they do. You are or maybe not even, you have it on autopilot and they do what they want, but it's not mm-hmm. like, it's not that the computer system needs to know every little piece of information that happened before in order to predict the future. It's that everything around you is not real. The desk isn't real. The food that you eat isn't real. The things that you drink aren't real. You know, the soft clothes that you feel on your body, that's not real. Everything is just a process, a computer process that tells your brain, your consciousness, this is good, this is bad, this is hot, this is cold, this tastes good, this tastes bad.
But the thing is, like, in terms of the Matrix, they were people put inside of a simulation, put inside of a fake world. So are you trying to say that we ourselves are a fake world? Because if that's the case and we're not actually put inside pods living in a simulated world, this is our world then. This is what we know. This isn't a simulation. This is our world, even if it is due to the God complex.
But it can be, though. The simulation theory is that it absolutely can. It doesn't have to be. Your definition is like, oh, well, if we're not in a pod somewhere, then this can't be a simulation. If it's not the Matrix, it can't be a simulation. Well, it can. You know, go back to the simplest form of this. When you play Second Life and you create your little online, you know, avatar, that person doesn't know that they're just a computer program. He's not in a pod somewhere and his consciousness is there, but that computer program acts like you, carries out whatever, you know, task you want it to carry out. It does what it does because it's a computer program. So the idea
that's what I'm saying. That's its world. It can't venture out into the regular world no matter how hard it tries.
No.
Agreed.
Of course
not. And a simulation is observing what happens at that moment. So even though we're controlling the people, that's a game. That's a video game. That's not a simulation. The Matrix, they never controlled anybody.
I think you're getting hung up on the definition of simulation. The simulation literally, like, it, in what the realm of what we're talking about, is just the idea that the life that you live and the things that you see and experience aren't actually tangible. It's not physical, as in, like, your base reality. We have a heart, a soul, a mind, as in it's more of everything that you experience is an electrical response to a computer chip.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I even said in the beginning, that's one of the reasons why I was hesitant to talk about it. Cause like I said, out of any of them, I like the idea of the Matrix more, just because that seems to be the one that, like, in the Matrix, when Neo first started waking up and he learned, you know, about dodging bullets, and, you know, that there were rules to this world, but those rules could be bent and some could be broken. That kind of thing. I love that idea. The one that, like I said, of what Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about, like, I understand his logic behind his explanation for it, but then at the same time, I don't like that one. I don't agree with that one. I'm not sure what it is. Like I said, if it's the rebellious nature in me. I mean, because, yeah, it definitely makes sense that we could get to the point where, I mean, technologically, like, people 20 years ago were saying, you know, that no, or what was it, 30 years ago, no one would ever need a personal computer in their house. And now, like, I mean, I'm literally sitting at a table with three computers on it, you know, that I'm doing this podcast from, you know, and the processing power in our phones and everything is light years above what we have. So the possibility of either, whether it's, you know, people, I mean, cause I guess it could kind of come down to the whole, if we went down like a rabbit hole of consciousness, where if you were to actually run a simulation, or let's say that you started up a game of The Sims and you started playing it, the NPCs or whatever, if you, and you know, put them with enough artificial intelligence in them to be able to move and carry on their daily life as normal, at what point, you know, could they click over into consciousness compared to just being AI? Like, could we be in the simulation now? We're not actually humans. We think we are, but we could just be AI. I mean, did you guys, what movie was it that was on Netflix, right? Extinction?
Oh, well, maybe.
Well, I mean, like, the whole point in that one, and spoiler alert to anyone that hasn't seen it, is the fact that the AI didn't know that they were AI.
Right.
And so it was like, that was like the big reveal and the twist was the AI were living, they
they knew that people were chasing them, but they didn't know why, but they were being hunted. And then all of a sudden, like, they get shot and they're like, oh crap, I got like wires and shit inside me. I'm not actually a real person. But they didn't realize up until that point they had all these fake memories implanted in them and all this kind of stuff. So that's kind of where the simulation theory, I think, is a fun thing to kind of discuss. But there's so many just different options of it that I think you almost have to kind of pick a specialized division of it. To discuss. Well,
that's what I was saying because I mean it felt like to me, like listening to you guys go back and forth there for a few minutes, that you guys were talking about two separate things, and you can't argue two different definitions of the same word or
theory. What I was arguing is that the terms of what a simulation that you guys are thinking of, I just can't ever find plausible. If there was someone out there with a God complex who put us in this, we'll say electronic world, whatever, we'll call this a simulation, to sit there and observe with us and toy with us and go about our daily lives. First of all, that guy is squandering whatever kind of technological genius that he has in order to play a very high definition Sims.
Maybe it's not technologically power.
Then you could say spiritual. Then God. Then God is actually the co-founder of EA Games.
Well, think about it in this way. Like, you know, we are very close to what Josh said about, you know, what, how close are they to clicking over a person, you know, an AI computer into a living, breathing person. I mean, we always talk about like Ex Machina. You know, you see the robot that Elon Musk made that became a Russian citizen or passed the, you know, the,
yeah,
Turing test, or I don't know if it's passed yet or it's close, but
I don't think,
I mean, so. I mean, things like that. I mean, that's how close we are, you know, like that's how close we are to taking your personality or whatever online persona that you've created, impulses, decisions, your morality, you know, and putting it into a computer program, putting it on a metal frame. And all of a sudden there you are walking around.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, yeah, it's still a robot. It's still a computer, but you know, if it's programmed with your thoughts and your feelings on certain issues, like I said, morality, you know, compassion, all of those kinds of things, it's going to act and do things very similarly that, you know, to you.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I don't think it's too far-fetched if you think about it in that way, that, I mean, while I don't believe that we're in a simulation now, because I just don't think that it's logical, I think that, and it's one of those things where, like, even if it was, I mean, would you really want to know? You know, would you actually want out of it? Because, you know, whenever I eat something, it tastes great, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we talked about this before, you know, how do I know that what I taste tastes like steak isn't what you taste tastes like chicken? You know, like, there's no way to,
yeah, oh yeah,
to actually, exactly, know that, or colors, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Like, we were raised to, you know, to believe or to see the color blue, and we call it blue. But all we know is, by definition, like, that color we're both staring at is named blue. We don't actually know that the hue, you know, the actual, like, tint of that color is the same to me and you.
Yeah.
No idea. We just know what to call it.
I agree.
And I think that when you think about it in terms like that, it's very unsettling, because there's no real way to prove. You know what I mean? Like, you can't talk to the dead.
Well, right? until they more than likely create a machine that allows you to see through someone's eyes.
But even then it doesn't matter. You're still looking with your own eyes. So even if I look through your eyes, I'd still see what I would see normally. You know what I mean? I don't know.
So the only thing I can say that is, even if that was, you know, the case, if what you see is purple but I see green, mm-hmm, right? That again has, you know, it's just one of those things where, What color are you? You know, you look at a Caucasian male, you look like at an African American male, you look at, you know, at a Hispanic male, like, you know, what color do you see him as? And then, but if you say, you know, well, the Caucasian, he looks like a light tan. What? Then does that mean that maybe you see him as purple and we're all walking around as, you know, freaking Oompa Loompas and Teletubbies?
Maybe. You never know. You know, there's no way to tell.
But the thing, the only thing that I can say of is that, yeah, I don't know. That just seems like a long
yeah, of course stretch. Of course it's a stretch, but I mean the problem is, and the ultimate crux of it is that, I mean, what do you do to prove it? What are the steps that you take to prove this is a real world? You know, this is real. What I feel is real. What I see is real.
Well, we would know as soon as we're able to swap consciences with one another's body.
We would know as soon as we were able to communicate with the dead. What happens after you die? Do you just hit the reset button, escape, go back to the lobby, respawn as a new person?
I hope.
Here you come, born into the world.
So what was your definition? As a baby. Of simulation.
What is the definition? Yeah.
What was your simulation?
The dictionary's definition is the production of a computer model, especially for the purpose of study.
Okay, so that's one of three. There should be two more, right?
Yeah, of course.
Webster's Dictionary has imitation of a situation or process and the action of pretending or deception.
Pretending, right. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so that's where the only way I could ever see what I was trying to say before is the type of simulation that you guys were talking about I can never find plausible. I don't feel it could ever exist. The only way I think an actual simulation is of that. Is the first definition in there to imitate a situation or process.
Yeah.
Not to actually create a whatever this Sims, real life Sims, whatever.
Well, no, I mean, like I said, I think a lot of it is you start things, and especially like when you're talking about the human race, like your simulation, you could technically start with one male, one female, with the characteristics of a human, with, you know, all the different stuff that they know about humans at that point. I mean, we know a lot about humans at this point, but let's say it's 5,000 years in the future, you know, that they are able to figure this stuff out. They're going to know a whole ton about people at that point. So you start with one man, one woman on this thing called Earth, and they go run program. And then boom. And I mean, it may be running at speeds much, much faster than this. But of course,
so you're trying to say that's out
we're of not going to know. Like our and then boom, the our world world's not going to be sped up or anything like that. We're going to continue living things as normal. But them from the outside could be watching it at a completely different speed happening and go, okay, well, I mean, because just out of curiosity, it would be extremely interesting to see different points in history and what could have happened or what happened when, you know, the first tadpoles crawled out of the water and humans started to grow into, you know, the Australopithecus or whatever. And, you know, and then Neanderthals and humans and that kind of thing. Like that would be a completely fascinating thing to see. And I mean, it would be really hard to be able to figure out like how much information, like how credible would information be, but I'm sure, like, I don't know. I mean, I was talking about the other day with my parents, like if you sent me back in time, I feel like I would be so worthless because I would talk to them about all these amazing things in the future, like cars and TVs and phones. And they're like, cool, how do you do it? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't understand for the life of me how a telephone is able to record my voice, send it into space, and send it back down on someone else's phone instantly, and it comes out sounding exactly like me. Not even just the words coming out.
Let me let you in on a little secret. It ain't going to space.
Yeah. Josh.
Cell phone tower. Josh. Whatever it's doing. I don't understand a landline telephone and how a wire can carry a voice. Like what makes sense to me is a tin cup with a string going over to my neighbor's house. That I can picture how the voice can vibrate.
Then you understand.
Hold on.
No, guys, it's like
I'm talking to a couple of monkeys right now. Okay. You guys ever run into a spider web? Those aren't spider webs. Those are actual micro threads that connect each phone to one another. Okay. And then when you talk into that, the way the threads vibrate, okay, and it sends what you're saying to the other phone. There's no such thing as spiders. It's just micro threads that connect. Like back in the day when the phones were first invented, speaking with two cups and a
string. Speaking of monkeys.
I was totally kidding, by the way, guys. You aren't monkeys.
I'm just saying, like, that kind of stuff, there's so much stuff in this world that I don't understand. So trying to talk about the intricacies of what they could do with simulation or anything like that, that's way out of my pay grade. Like, I'm not arguing that kind of stuff. You know,
the only thing I could say, if this was a simulation, right, there is an indoor and there's an outdoor somewhere. There is always a console. There has to be a means of way to examine, control, and adjust in a simulation, right? You can't just create something. If it was even spiritual, right? If it was, there's a console. And whoever finds that console, they're going to be a divine chancellor of the universe.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, to me, at least, like I said, where an explanation like Tyson talks about, it makes sense to me just because of technological advances and the way that things have gone. I mean, when we look at what we have now, I mean, any of the things that we use on a daily basis, none of it was stuff that they used back 100 years ago. I mean, like, almost every single thing that we use is changed over the past 100 years. And so, like, it's hard, I think, for even my brain to comprehend what even the next 10 years is going to look like. Like, I couldn't imagine back when I was a kid. I mean, some of the stuff, you know, I think, like, when I picture the future, I picture things like, you know, the iPad, having a flat handheld device in front of you that you could see, watch videos and stuff, maybe more with holograms that I think I remember, you know, like picturing as a kid. Mm-hmm. I feel like that kind of stuff is like, it's here, but probably not to the point where it's like a household item. Maybe more teleportation, jumping through wormholes and those kind of thing. But I think the kind of stuff that the future is going to hold for us is so much more insane than I think most of us even realize, like, what it could even be.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree with you, but I don't think that our technological advancements now in our current state help or don't help the argument of it being a simulation or not. I mean, I feel like, yeah, we're doing great to create our own simulations to get to the point where we're going to be crossing the lines of virtual reality and augmented reality, you know, on a daily basis, you know, and it's predicted that before too long, you know, more people are going to be living in a virtual world than, you know, outside of it, kind of like Ready Player One and, you know, all of that. And while I can see that and I can envision it and see that as a possibility, I don't think that the fact that we're that close to that technology means that we're in one, you know? And again, like, going back to, you know, what I was saying before, I was just more playing devil's advocate just for the sake of it. Like I said, I don't actually believe that we're in a simulation. And I think that our advancement of technology in and of ourselves just proves that we are moving away from the human element, you know? The fact that we don't have to talk to people face-to-face in any capacity if we really don't want to, but we'd rather interact with them virtually only further proves that this is where we're headed. Not so much that we're in one now, currently, but that we're headed to a point where, you know, I go plug myself in and then I go to work and play and leisure and I never have to leave my house. Because, again, at the end of the day, you know, those, when we feel pain, pleasure, accomplishment, those are all electrical impulses, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go find a girlfriend online right now in an online game, you know, maybe whatever that new VR chat game or whatever, where everybody just goes and hangs out and, like, you know, talks with their virtual avatars, right?
Oh God, don't even get me started on that game.
Right. But my point is that you
go
on there.
Is there a real one like that?
Yes. Yeah, and it's toxic. It's called VR chat. Go in there, Josh. You'll never come out.
But listen, this, so... So the idea is, is that you can go in there and you have conversations, you know, make friendships, relationships, whatever, virtually. But like, say you want to get frisky with your online girlfriend, there is no electronical impulses to, you know, feel her touch or kiss, right?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
We don't have it just yet.
And that brings us to our first sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fleshlight 3000. Your next step into the virtual porn world has come to fruition. No, that's going to be the first thing for VR, guarantee you, when it becomes like super like real. But I will tell you what, really, if there's ever, if I ever get the chance to hop into virtual Skyrim with my wife where we can take on dragons together and feel myself Thum, then yeah, I'm going to take that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm very interested in that kind of stuff. Like I was saying, though, I think a lot, if we're really discussing simulation, especially in the way of what Tyson's talking about it, would be differentiating AI consciousness with actual human consciousness. And the fact of, like, so let's say that Tyson's theory is 100% correct. We get to the point where we can run simulations on from the Big Bang up to
Neil Tyson
this point
or Tyson, the inventor of the chicken nugget?
Both. Both have talked about this. They're on the same team on this.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. it's called Tyson and Brothers. But no, I mean, just so let's say that you came up with that simulation you wanted to do from Big Bang all the way to now and just study how the world changed and what different events went on and all this kind of stuff. Those people that are running in that simulation, you know, they would be running off of basically artificial intelligence. You would program them the way that you wanted them to think and act and stuff like that. But at what point would they cross over from being the artificial intelligence side to, you know, being conscious or, you know,
let me ask you guys that. So the computer I was talking about, the one that could predict, right, mm-hmm. everything and predict where movement's going. So let's say that machine gets bigger, super big, to where you can put yourself in that machine and live an entire life, right, in a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is like a home thing. You plug in at home.
So you're at your house. You jump into this thing. It shuts.
You can spend a year. You can spend a year in Tahiti for $5. Feel exactly what you would feel if you went to actual Tahiti. Spend a year in there, but it's only been 3 seconds in the real world. Would you guys do that?
So
I mean, is that even a question?
Yeah, I
think. What are the side effects, Doctor? Are there any negative side effects to this?
Who cares?
What do you mean?
Like,
if it's going to kill me,
spend a year or whatever it is in your dream world of whatever you want, and then all of a sudden the game ends and you don't wake up. Like, oh, that's terrible. Like, hell no. I just want like a freaking boss, like having fun. Like, I don't, I don't know.
If I come back and I have like some weird cancer or something like that, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, okay. Well, that's what I'm saying though. Like that's obviously thousands of years from now. I don't even think that kind of technology would even be possible in the next 100 years.
Never say never.
I do.
Elon Musk next feature. Featuring.
I feel like that's definitely possible here in the future.
And I just think that ultimately, like I said, whether or not we can build a computer to predict outcomes, you know, Doctor Strange style, or look back and see like, oh, this is how we could have run this world differently and changed things. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that future simulation does any positive effect or any positive, you know, outcome is when it comes to weather and geological mapping. So like being able to fix global warming or the holes in the ozone or, you know, whatever it might be that we need to do to fix the planet, whether it might be from, you know, animal depopulation, you know, forest you know, deforestation, you know, mm-hmm. water levels rising, heat levels rise, all of those different things. What you know, being able to simulate, you know, hundreds of years to see what's going to happen if we do X, if we do Y, if we do Z, you know what I mean? I think that that's the really the only beneficial outcome of any sort of simulation. When the humans come into it, when you're trying to throw in any human element into a simulation, humans are too unpredictable, which I think then leads back to, you know, why I think that there's no way that we could be in one right now. I wasn't arguing with you before. I was telling you that you guys were arguing two different points, which is what you were
doing. But that's what I'm saying. The only way a simulation could be possible is if it knows the chaos of the way the human mind works.
Right. But that the definition of that, what you just said, is not what simulation Josh was talking about. Because you're talking about a simulation of simulating an outcome, and Josh is mm-hmm. talking about a virtual space of being like, this is not real. Imagine going to that little the VR place.
No, you were playing a game of Team Deathmatch. To be studied. That's what he was talking about. To be studied. The simulation was created so they could study it.
Yes, but that has nothing to do with future. That's like running a simulation and then looking back on it. That's not looking like I'm going to use this.
But why would they study it though? They would study it to help them benefit themselves in the future. They wouldn't study it to be like, oh, well, now we know why they didn't use the banana.
No, I don't agree, because I think that the God theory and the God complex of a simulation isn't the fact that he needs to study. He created humans to have free will to choose to worship him or not. You know what I mean? And I think that that's ultimately that part of the simulation that he's talking about. Like, here, I have the God complex and I'm going to create humans and they're going to live their measly little lives. And do they thank me for everything good that they have, or do they, you know, hail Satan kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's and those are two separate things. Those are two very, very separate things.
There's just this rabbit hole goes so deep.
Josh, did you take your meds today?
No. Okay. No. I wasn't even arguing that, you know, that I believe we're in a simulation.
Like you said, you leaned yes
towards the Matrix one, more towards the other.
Listen, buddy. I am not laying in some pod somewhere, shaved from head to toe, with cords all over me, in some vile, viscous liquid.
You're getting caught up on the details, okay? You're getting caught up. Never once did I go, man, I feel like there's something just poking me in the back of the head. Maybe I'm in a simulation. No, it's the kind of thing of that we discuss it all the time. That you think about something and it literally happens. All the time.
It's coincidence.
You know, whether it's coincidence or coincidence by definition is what? Can someone read me the definition of coincidence?
Chives has been slacking for like, we've given him like the holidays off, but he just like stayed in Tahiti in that simulation.
Yeah. Right? If someone could read me the definition of coincidence, because I don't know. Right.
The definition for coincidence is a remarkable concurrence of events or circumstances without apparent causal connection.
Okay. Does it say how often it can happen before it changes over from coincidence to whatever the next thing is? Because that's normally where things start getting weird, right? Where scientists, the hair stands up on the back of their necks and they're like, all right, this can't just be a coincidence. We've seen it happen over and over and over again. And that's what I feel like happens in my life all the time, that there are things that just keep happening that I'm like, I feel like someone's playing a joke on me. Truman Show or whatever. Like, maybe I'm not in a simulation, but I'm in the Truman Show and this is all being videotaped right now. And there's people in an outside world watching and they're having fun, you know, and they're cheering for me. They're like, oh, Josh, you know, he finally started his own podcast and this is going to be a great episode. Tune in to season 33, you know, like coming up on season 34 on March the 7th, you know, like I'm telling you, there's so much weird stuff. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys just I mean, Jack, you and I have had enough conversations.
Sure.
To know, like, yes, I'm mainly bullshitting that I don't actually think that I'm plugged into a machine. But I think that some of that may be getting caught up on the details of how we're actually connected to the Matrix. I think just the fact that there is some weird stuff going on in this world that not everything is what it seems.
No, and I would agree with you in that aspect. But I think that that, I think that that actually supports more of the free will versus not free will argument that it does for a simulation, because whenever things like that happen, it's almost like, okay, like, am I really on my own path? Am I really, did I really get here on my own, or am I being guided by the hand, mm-hmm. you know, along where I'm headed? And I think that that's, that supports more of that conversation than it does like, oh, well, this is a simulation and none of this is real. You know, when we talk about, oh, there's a glitch mm-hmm. in the Matrix. Like, have I ever, I don't know if I did, if I talked about it for Halloween or if I've ever brought it up before. I know I told Josh about it, but did I ever tell you about the, and Luch, you can chime in, about mm-hmm. the time when I saw a glitch in the Matrix driving home from work?
Oh,
and
God.
And the three ladies. Did I ever tell you about this?
Oh, I do remember you telling me this.
I know I told Josh. Did I ever tell you about this, Luch?
Guys, don't listen to Jack. He accidentally found himself on a Legally Blonde shoot. And he's never been able to live it down ever since.
No. I didn't tell you about this, right?
No, you did. You did.
Okay. All right. So I'm driving home from work on a major highway. Get off the exit. I'm pulling up to the light. I'm pulling up in the middle lane. It's a 3-lane highway. And to my right, I'm pulling past a white Corolla. And I just so happen to, like, you know, because I like to be aware of my surroundings. So I'm looking around. I'm coming to a stop. I look over and there's a middle-aged white lady with her left hand and a white iPhone up to her ear talking. Okay. She's in a white Corolla, Toyota Corolla, talking on an iPhone, left ear, hand, right hand on the steering wheel, sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to a stop. Next car in front of her, oddly, another white car, another middle-aged white lady, left hand with her a white iPhone up to her ear, right hand on the steering wheel, white Corolla. Third car in line, no lie, white Corolla, middle-aged white lady, left hand with an iPhone up to her ear, right hand on the steering wheel. I did, no lie, 3 to 4 double takes sitting at this light, like shaking my head, rubbing my eyes one time, like, wait, what's happening? All yeah. three at the same light, the same car. They weren't all wearing the same outfit, and they weren't all the same woman.
Yeah.
But boom, 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 all middle-aged white ladies, left hand with the iPhone to the ear, right hand on the steering wheel. Explain it.
Dude, it's just, I know, like we say, it's just coincidence. Let's just call it a day and go home and we'll just forget about it because it's just coincidence. He was on the shoot
for Legally Blonde 3. It's obvious.
Is that one of those things where it's like the Truman Show and they're like, they got the mic, they got the phone on there and the producers are like, oh my God, he's there. We didn't know he was coming this way. He took a wrong turn. Oh my God, he's going to notice. And dude, I'm just like looking around like,
what the hell? Well, see, and maybe this just talks about or just shows you like how messed up my mind is. When I first saw the Truman Show, that's all I believed my life was for like the next couple of years. Then I saw the Matrix and then I was like, okay, the Matrix explains things a little bit better. So I'm going to believe the Matrix. And that's what I've been on since like I first saw that movie.
That came out in like 1998. The Truman Show
was like beautiful. It was so good at like that kind of movie of being able to make you question your own reality and all your friends and your family and everything. Like that was, oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah, The Matrix came out in 1999. You're telling me that for the past 20 years, you've been stuck on The Matrix.
There, what else has explained life as well as that? Nothing. No other movie has made me go like that. Makes as much sense. I mean, like I said, I know it is a fun thing. I enjoy it, and that's where most of my love for it comes from, because it's some crazy ideas. And if someone had a gun pointed to my head and were like, you know, if I shoot you right now, do you think you're gonna wake up like in your little Matrix pod? No. At the end of the day, I don't. But at the same time,
I'm tired of freaking coincidences and just sitting here and ignoring them, going like, oh, it's nothing. I'm just going to forget about it. Like, I like to bring them up. And that's normally what I do. If I have a really heavy coincidence hit, I'll text you guys. And normally I'll post it in Discord, or I'll text you, Jack, and I'll be like, dude, the fucking Matrix is real. You know, and I just like saying that because it helps explain the story that I'm about to tell you. Where, you know, if I text you, go, dude, the freaking Matrix is real, you know that I'm about to tell you a crazy coincidence story. You know, that's my main love for it and everything, is because there's some things in this world that happen that are too unexplainable that my mind can only go about explaining them using Matrix references.
Yeah. I don't know. And again, I just think that ultimately it's one of those things where, does it really matter? Right. And we talked about like a bunch of different things, free will versus not. Can you prove it? Yes. No. Does it matter at the end of the day? Like, if it is or isn't, like, you're still living your life out. You're still making your choices, whether you think they're your own or not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly. It's like the fact, if I found out tomorrow I was in the Matrix, it's like, okay, like, I don't know how to get out of it. Like, my life doesn't change. I still have work to do tomorrow. I still have kids that need to be fed. Like,
would you look to get out of it, or would you look to change it?
So,
if you knew that your world was malleable, that you can actually change it with the click of a button.
Okay.
And I'm not talking, I'm talking like everything, bro. I'm talking you wink and all of a sudden there is the screen, the console, right? And you could move a slider and it adds 200 pounds to you. Or you lose 30 pounds and you make your, you scale.
So you're making
your abs.
It too easy. Yeah. I mean, with something like that, 100% I would change.
No. This is everything, bro. I'm talking everything. It gives you control of everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Now, I'm not saying.
Alt F4.
And then you die.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you're talking to a kid who, when I saw Dragon Ball Z for the first time, I tried shooting Kamehameha's out of my hands, or when I saw Star Wars, I tried using the Force to move items around the room. I've never wanted to believe that this reality that we have here is as much as we can get. I want to believe that there's ways that we can change and manipulate things in this world outside of our normal.
See,
human
but that's the thing, Josh.
Find.
Like, you can't bring up the past. The Force was discovered and was proven real years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our fault that you can't control it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to learn how to control it. I wasn't saying it wasn't real because I couldn't. I'm saying I'm trying to learn how.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even remember the last time that I've even bought like a table or something. Just all of my items are floating. I don't even have to touch the keyboard. I just mind press it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding, Joss. I'm just teasing you. I can only move like a pencil at a time.
Well, that's the thing. I know. The whole reason we're doing this podcast is because you guys are nerds like me, and I guarantee that both you guys tried bending spoons after watching The Matrix, or tried picking up something using the Force. I guarantee it. And if you didn't, then you're kicked off the podcast as of this moment.
First of all, everyone has, no matter who you are.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Second of all, to one up you, when I watched Dragon Ball Z, Gundam, Digimon, everything, right? So I went outside and pretended that I had an imaginary Digimon, okay? While I got blue balloons, right? And blew them up to where they were. They would float, but they wouldn't go up too high. And then I would put the balloon inside my palms. So that way, when I let go of it, it would go. And then it would go out and fly, okay?
Nice.
That's not a joke
real
either.
Nice.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know why you brought that. You saying that brought that up to me, but when I lived in Virginia, I remember doing that in my backyard. Well, see, we used to make bow and arrows with my dad and shoot them at trash cans. Every time we go to Michael's, I ask my wife if I can get one of the wooden sticks so I can make a bow and arrow. I can shoot them at some trash bags outside.
That's awesome.
That's what I would do. But ultimately, so coming back around full circle, right? So
yes, please.
Josh, you're still leaning on the fence of yes for simulation, right? As long as it's like Matrix style.
I would say the best way for me to explain it is I don't believe we understand fully what we're in currently. I think that we may think that this is like some normal world. I think that we aren't able to see everything that we're supposed to be able to at this point. Maybe we're not supposed to be able to, but I'm saying I think that there's more going on than we know.
I agree with you, but I don't agree with you for the same reasons.
We're not in a simulation.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Ultimately, I don't think. And I think that, again, I think that we're very close to crossing the line of artificial intelligence into simulation, and that mm-hmm. in our lifetime we may even see full immersion of consciousness into virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that may be a thing that we see, but I don't think that further proves that we're in a simulation now.
Yeah.
Just so you know, guys, as soon as this episode ends, I'm going to get up from my chair. I'm going to walk to my bathroom, and then I'm going to click my shower tiles in a pattern, and it's going to open up a corridor that leads me into this gigantic spherical room, and then all of a sudden, TV screens will start lighting up of everybody's lives, and then I'm just going to put my hands together and just...
Wait, you have that same room? That's weird. What? I thought I was the only one that had that room.
And then just cuts to black.
That's funny. Anyway.
No, that's Ben. That's Ben.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I think that that's a good stopping place, actually, for this rabbit hole, this tornadoed rabbit hole that we can just keep diving down and down and down into. The final boss eluded us again, I think. I don't really think we put him down in level 17, and that's why he came back for us in level 19. But I think that we went around in circles in his deception.
And I don't know. I mean, I think that we had problems all really being able to communicate where we were all coming from and getting on the exact same page with things. But I think for the most part that we all agree that the simulation, as far as what is called the simulation theory, that is the most popular simulation theory out at this point, none of us agree with that.
Subscribe to, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically...
Speaking of subscribe.
Uh-huh.
Please subscribe to us. We need it.
And also speaking of... I don't know what. I was just going to segue into the fact that Neil deGrasse Tyson is a nut job. And that's my opinion. And I'm sticking to it.
Does that mean he's the final boss?
I was going to say he could be the final boss and I would gladly.
Are you just hating on him because he declassified Pluto as a planet?
No. I hate on him because he... Did you know that this is one of his recent things. This is aside from his simulation theory.
Uh-huh.
He said recently that he thinks the Earth is pear-shaped.
Pear-shaped?
Yes.
I have not heard this.
That well, it's skinny in the top and it's oblong. That it's oblong. Towards the bottom.
Oh no, I'm gonna have to look that up. You're gonna have to send me a link for that because no, I'm not familiar with that.
He's
all.
A certifiable clown. I'm just gonna throw. I mean, that
if Neil deGrasse Tyson says it, it's obviously true. Yeah.
Well, and that's the main reason pear-shaped. I was bringing it up is because, like I said, when we were talking about simulation, I wanted to make sure that I knew the most common used definition and topic of simulation. He was the most popular video,
of course,
on YouTube that I found. Going along with simulation theory. And so I wanted to see what he had to say about it. And so that, therefore, like when we have our listeners that are listening and they go, oh, this is based on, you know, a podcast on simulation, if they wanted to do research, that I was hoping that I went to the same place that they did so that we're, you know, on the same page discussing things. So I don't want to, you know, get off on something that, you know, everyone's not, you know, understanding or on the same page on kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson saying that the world is pear-shaped. You know, it's like almost as crazy as the people who think the world's flat. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a not what do you think, as Jay? Popular theory. For sure. 100%.
He says as his eyes move back and forth.
Anyways, Neil deGrasse Tyson can be our final boss, but I think that he's just the minion but final boss. And I think
he's more of a TV personality than an actual
boss.
He's like he goes through his notebook and is like, what shall I talk about today? Yeah. Oh, the world is actually a pear.
Yeah. I like pears. Shout out to all my
pears. I like pears.
Shout out to all my pears. Anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this week on Simulation. I hope you enjoyed. From all of us at the Bonus Level Podcast, please follow us on all social medias, and I hope you have a great week.
Goodbye, friends.
Later, taters.